I really appreciate that humble prayer. It's gone before us. And we certainly do need and always stand in need of the good Lord in everything that we do. And I ask for you to continue to pray for me, pray for one another, pray we certainly feel the need of the Lord. I've got several thoughts on my mind, and I don't know which way to go, and I just pray that I'm at the Lord's mercy here, and I just again pray for me. You know, I've been doing some looking out the window a lot here lately because we got a bird feeder out there. We got bird feeders everywhere, actually, and it's really kind of cool. Until you have bird feeders, you don't know what kind of birds you have until you start paying attention to the things that the good Lord's put around you. You don't always know exactly what's out there until you stop and take a look, and then you realize there's all these little different types of birds. And even the sparrows that are called sparrows, they have little differences. And they just look different. Some look different than others, but they're all little sparrows. And then you'll get a cardinal that'll come in, and that's a pretty bird. Right? And then you'll get a blue jay, which will come in, and that's got its own, right? But all these birds are at the same feeder. In Matthew chapter 6, says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" And I believe that if the good Lord provides food for those little birds in whatever fashion and form that He sees fit, whether it's a little weird couple setting bird seed out or whatever, or whether it's the berries that grow on the trees when the leaves fall off. We got a tree outside of our house. When the leaves fall off of it, berries pop out. That doesn't just happen. God designed that. God made that to feed those little birds. And those little birds just about picked it clean. What I'm trying to say is, well, if He provides for those little birds, He will certainly, I believe, provide for us. And has provided for us for as long as I can remember, if I stop and think about it. I'd like to turn to the book of Psalms, the 115th Psalm. I'm going to read the whole thing. I believe it's important to read the scripture. I believe it's important, even if I don't say anything else about it. If I don't do anything other than read it, then the good Lord can provide you a blessing in so doing. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. For Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've been given so many things in our lives by the good Lord up above. We've been given the natural things that we have. But so far and above, beyond that, is the spiritual blessings that I believe we've been blessed to see here on this earth. That He's given us grace and faith to believe, faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, that gift of God that says it's the reason you believe. We can say we believe all day long, but saying it just don't always quite get it. It's got to have something to stand on. It's got to have something to be firm on. What he's given us is that faith. And we have these blessings. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. As I get lifted up in the spirit sometimes, and I know the Lord's been so good to me, and he's blessed me, and he's blessed my path, and I'm so happy about it, and I'm walking along, and everything is going great. And the next thing you know, I'm thinking about how well I'm doing. How well I'm getting along. Got a nice new coat. Doing pretty good, ain't you, boy? Right? But it's not ours. It's not ours. So that's what the psalmist says here. It says, not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. Not us. But unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth sake. Thy mercy, thy loving kindness. That love, that he looked down before the world was created and saw a no good rotten sinner like me and loved me anyway. Amen. Why? Because he wanted to.
Absolutely.
Because there was no difference between me and anybody else.
No.
And never will be except for the love of God.
Amen.
And the mercy and the grace that he's bestowed upon me because I'm his child. Unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? And I believe that heathen is talking about those that don't know God, that don't follow God. I'm not saying they're not God's people. I believe that there are some people in the world that just don't know it.
Right.
I think it's not ours to figure out. I guess what I'm trying to say is, brethren, is when they say, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? That is the world out there.
Right.
That's the world out there. That's not the world in here. We know where our God is, because we answer that in the next verse.
Exactly.
Right? We say, because we know, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. What does that mean? What that means is God does what he wants, when he wants to do it, and there's nothing we can do about it. Other than, like you said, brother, relax and enjoy the ride because God's in control. God's in charge. A lot of times we do hear from the world, though, where is your God when this thing happens?
Sure.
Or where is your God when that thing happens?
Sure.
Right?
The devil's there.
We hear those things because, again, the devil is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, taking advantage of God's little children out there. There's a lot of God's little children out there that are really trying hard to fix something and take care of something, their eternal salvation, that's already been worked out for them.
Amen.
They are working hard to fight for their eternal life when they can't remember where they left their car keys this morning.
That's right.
And I'm not making light of those people. Brethren, we need to pray for those people. We need to pray that the good Lord will show them and turn them. And when we walk and talk, we need to be talking about the goodness and the mercy and the grace of the Lord.
Amen.
And what He's done for us.
Amen.
So when they see us and they say, "Well, how do you have that peace? It's not because I got anything better than you got, except I do." Right? And it ain't out here. It's not out here in the world. It's what we get through the word of the Lord, who came here as the living word and died on the cross for our sins. And gave us the written word and told us all about it.
Amen.
Told us all about it. And not only that, we got that going all the way back to the end of the beginning. You want to know where time started? It's right there. In the beginning.
God.
That settles that for me.
Sure.
I don't care when it happened. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. I know He started it. He's going to end it. I don't need to worry when that's going to happen either. I don't need to be scared. I don't need to be concerned. God's chosen people, His elect family, we don't have that to be concerned about today. And I'm thankful that we sit here, but there's a lot of people out there that don't know that.
Right.
And they are scared to death. They are scared to death right now. They don't know which way to go. Everything they do, because who are they relying on? Here's who they're relying on. They're relying on these idols that they have created.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about here in verses 4 through 7. Their idols are silver and gold. They are the work of men's hands. What are silver and gold? They're elements.
Right.
Who made the silver? Who made the gold? God. Right? And what does man do? What do we do? And I know a lot of times we talk about Old Testament, we look at gods as saying, "Well, I would never serve another God. I grew up an Old Baptist. I was raised in an Old Baptist church. Brother W.G. Fletcher might as well have been my granddad. Brother Tolliver Ouswad." So I thought, growing up, that serving other gods, I'm never serving another god. I serve the God of heaven. It'd be funny to know, not funny to know, but brethren, here's what I tell you, and I don't know how to say it any plainer. Anything that comes in front of or in the way of the service of the Lord, if we get our order of operations wrong, anything that comes in the way of our service becomes something that we make a priority over our love and care and service to the Lord God as an idol. If we put something else in front of that, and say this is more important than this, than God, than the service of God, then it's an idol. And I have made many in my life. And I have made them with my hands. From what? What God gave me. What the good Lord has given me, the silver and the gold to use. I'm not saying a lot of these things that we do, that we set up, These things aren't bad in and of themselves. God has given them to us. Certain things God has given us here to enjoy. We have His grace. But when those things become, when they supersede God, when we start to look at them more than we look to the Lord, and that becomes how we walk and how we talk is following that. That's where we've gone astray, brethren. And we're sinners. And I'm not standing here today to want to tell you and make you feel bad and beat you up. I love you to death. I do. I love you so much. I just don't want, I want to tell you there's a truth to that. That so easily can happen to us. It says their idols are silver and gold. They're the work of men's hands. But look what these things, what do these things give back to you? So many times we put so much of ourselves into things that we just love. Sometimes for me it was I love singing. Ain't that funny? I never loved singing as much as I love singing now. It made me hate it. Right? But I love singing. I love to sing. I love to do it. Boy, I couldn't wait to do it. Right? I couldn't wait to get out there. Boy, I called Daddy, I'd be so proud. Daddy, you should have seen them. They really like this one. Oh, Daddy, I'd even be proud to call him and tell him I was singing hymns this weekend at the Moose. Be ashamed. Boy. But I made it an idol. See, there's nothing wrong with singing. Matter of fact, the singing I should have been doing the whole time is in this church, singing praises to the good Lord above in heaven. That's where I should have been, brethren. Not out there, because guess what that does? There's a lot of things in this life that cost you more. That cost you more than what you get back in the world. Right? That's how I feel about it. You go out here in this world, run around, you can find anything. Anything you want to find out here, you can find. You want to feel better? You'll find it. It'll last about, I don't know, not that long. When you know what your life is, when you know how much time you have on, what does the Bible tell us about our life? It's but a vapor. It's but a puff of smoke. So whatever time you are out here in this world getting whatever it is of our field that we get, right, we are paying out the pocket. I'm paying out the pocket of my life. I'm giving up my days. And guess what I'm getting back from the world? Nothing. Nothing. Don't feel my soul. It doesn't make me feel good up here. When your daddy calls, you won't answer the phone. You won't. When people call you to check on you and say that they love you, you won't answer the phone. Because you don't want them to know where you are. You don't get things back out of this world. And I'm not telling you that because I was too far gone, brethren. I was a functional member of society. According to everybody else out there, I was doing just fine. I just needed a little bit of help. And by help, they would say, you need to go see somebody and see somebody about this and take this thing for a while. Brethren, your relationship, our relationship with the Lord, what we have in the Lord, what we have in His church, what we have when we come here in His people out of that cold, cruel world, it pays you back double. You come in with nothing. Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah here real quick.
Take your time.
I'm sorry, brother.
You take your time.
Let's go to Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, come ye, buy and eat. Tell me where you gonna go out there with no money and get a thing. You not. They'll laugh you out the place. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. When we come here and He feeds us, and it's not demand. It's not demand.
And the brethren are wonderful. They are wonderful. I love coming in here. I've always loved coming in here. Why? Because the brethren are so good? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm not saying y'all ain't. I love you. I love you. But by yourselves, you just like me. Nothing. We ain't no good. And we won't treat each other good. Matter of fact, we'll start thinking, because we're different. We're just like these birds. But we're all eating at the same place. But we do things different. When we remove the good Lord, who gave us that common salvation that Jude told us about, when we remove Him, we become just like we are. And that means you're not going to like the same things that I like. You're not going to do things exactly the way I do them. And in about 30 minutes of going down the road, we'll be in a fight. And I sit here today and tell you, I love you with everything I have. I've been waiting to see y'all all week. Because I love coming here. I love seeing your face. I love seeing your feed. I love watching. I love hearing you sing. I love sitting right here watching you sing. Even if you don't make a single solitary noise. Because I enjoy watching you. I enjoy seeing you be lifted up. But back to these. We'll flip back over to these idols here, because the Lord tells us we can create these things for ourselves. And we do create these things for ourselves. Matter of fact, before we go over there, I'll go here to Isaiah where he tells us about that. And it says, he talks about it. Who hath formed a god, a molten, a graven image that is what? Profitable for nothing. This is Isaiah 44, chapter 10. It says, behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs, both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. Means he's laboring, brethren. He's working hard to make that idol. And the carpenter, he's a poor man. He don't have silver and gold. But he's got some wood. He can get some wood. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. And he marketh it out with the compass. And maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. Look at the level of detail to which we are going to fashion this idol. And what is that idol going to be? It's going to be whatever we put in front of our Lord. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. So this idol that he's praising, that he's worshiping, he's chopping down and putting it in the fireplace. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He cooks on it. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I'm warm. I've seen the fire. Brethren, how foolish is that?
It is.
Because again, where does that stuff come from? Who gave us those trees? Who gave us that wood? Who gave us those elements? Who gave us these things? It wasn't just here. It's from the Creator. And we, having knowledge of the Creator, understand this, but yet have a desire a lot of times because of our old sinful nature to follow our own will and do our own thing and fashion our own idols and fashion something that becomes, well, I can do it here, but I can't do it here because I got this, this, and this. And I don't know what everybody's this, this, and this is. But I have a this, this, and this. I know what my this, this, and this is. And I know we have to contend with that. And the devil's tricky. He'll throw things at you to make things look like they're supposed to look, and it'll be all right, and what do I do? Pray to the Lord, brethren. That's what I can tell you to do. I'm not up here with all the answers, but I know one that does have all the answers.
Amen.
I know one place that there is all the answers. I know that it's not just up to one man on Sunday standing behind the pulpit, whether he's up there or down here or on the radio or anywhere else. I know that it's not going to be one man that's going to tell you that. It's going to be the good Lord in heaven who shows that to you. And he's given you this word right here that's inspired by men. This is better than any book you will ever read, ever. If you've got any other book you've been paying attention to and you've been spending more time with it, put it up on the shelf and pull your Bible down and start at the Gospels. Right? Just start there with Jesus and see where you go. I'm not telling you where to read. Just open it up and read it.
Amen.
Because it will do you good.
Amen.
And I don't say that. The good Lord says that.
Amen.
It will do you good. And if you don't understand what you read, call Brother Gary. And if he can't answer, call me. I won't understand. I'll have to call him later. But we should be talking to one another, brethren.
Amen.
We should be discussing these things. Because it's not just for Sundays. Right? You don't just live on Sundays.
That's right.
You got to live. Matter of fact, living any other day of the week is a lot harder than Sunday.
Yeah.
In my history.
Hey,
on Sunday, I can feel like I'm doing pretty good. But again, let's not unto us, O Lord.
Not unto us.
But unto thee. Unto him is the glory. So let's not forget that on Monday, because if we glory in us, our glory doesn't last long.
No.
We don't even have any to begin with, and any we did have, we fabricated it.
Right.
We built it. We chopped it down and said, look at me. No.
Amen.
Comes from the Lord. So we need the Lord on every day of the week, all the time. Well, how do I stay close to the Lord? Stay in His Word.
Amen.
Pray. Pray. We've been given a great gift. We've been given the gift of prayer. He's taught us how to pray. It's in the Bible. And this little woman, this little Canaanite woman, she didn't know what to say. She didn't know. She didn't have. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't anybody. He said they're great and small. This little Canaanite woman had to be really small, I believe. Matthew 15. This little woman of Canaan, Canaanite woman. Mark says she was from a Greek. This is what they called all the Gentiles. She came out of the same coast. She cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He hadn't answered her. And then he's turned her away and said, I'm for the lost, the house of Israel. You know what that would sound like to the natural ear? What'd I come all the way down here for? My daughter's sick, grievously vexed. What a devil. And he didn't answer me. How many times? I don't know. What would I have done? What would I have done? My daughter sick, grievously vexed with the devil. You think that was just a natural thing? Some natural words being exchanged. The natural didn't look too good right there, did it? That natural mindedness would have, if we would have just had a natural mind, that she might not have got here. Because it says she didn't, but he answered her not a word. He didn't answer her. He didn't answer her call. Didn't mean he didn't know she wasn't there.
Oh, he knew she was.
He knew she was there.
He knew her heart.
But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This is a Canaanite woman, not a Jew.
Right.
Not a Jew.
Right.
She was a Gentile. She had heard and seen and believed. Why? Because she did something? No, because the good Lord worked a work of grace in her heart.
Amen.
But he answered, then came she, he said, "But she crieth after," the disciples said, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Meaning she didn't get an answer from God, she went to them. She went to them, she went to the disciples, she was going to bother them.
Right.
Somebody's going to help me because I know I can be helped here. What's she calling? Thou son of David. Amen. How would a Gentile woman who's not a Jew, hasn't been raised up in the church, hasn't been raised up in the law, know to call Jesus Christ the son of David? Because she'd heard it and believed. Amen. And God had granted her faith. That was a work of grace. That wasn't an act of a little woman who wanted to save. That was an act of a woman who'd already been saved.
Amen.
That was an act of a little woman who'd already known God because God knew her.
Right.
And he said, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Did she give a dissertation? She hadn't been seen twice. Did she think of a good email to write? Did she think of the right words to say? What can I do? No, Lord, help me. Brethren, that works.
Amen.
That works. It works. That's all it takes. Brother Cohen, Lord, help me.
Amen.
But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Meaning, this was for the chosen people. This was for the chosen people. There was a natural chosen Israel that it was chosen for, but there was a chosen people. But that not all of Israel are of Israel. So in other words, yes, there was unto the ceremonial law, there was a natural Israel that was there, but the big Israel is the spiritual Israel, which we as the elect family of God belong to.
Amen.
I want to make sure I'm clear on that. I do want to be, I hope I'm clear on that. If I'm not, Daddy will help me fix it. I hope. You just made a face at me. And she said, but it is not meet to take children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He's pretty much just called this little old lady a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
This little lady who came down and said, there, son of David, Lord, help me. He said, it is not meet for me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. I know I am. I know I need you. I know I have nothing left because you've shown me who I am. I'm low. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Meaning when we are with the Lord, we don't need a whole lot of nothing else. All it takes is a little bit of the Lord. And when you got a little bit of the Lord, I'll tell you this, you got the whole thing. You got it all. We have a lot to be thankful for today. We're not just sitting around sad and miserable waiting to get to heaven. We have a little place right here on this earth right now that we should be enjoying things, right? How do we enjoy things? Not out here walking around following these idols of the world. It's not going to be outside. It's going to be in the service of the Lord. It's going to be walking with Him, delighting in the law of the Lord, following His Word, following His footsteps, following what He says. How do we do that? Draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto thee. That's where we need to be. We do that. We walk that way. I believe the good Lord will bless us and He'll help us. He has. And He's shown us. And His Word tells us. When you have in mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. I appreciate you.
Amen. Love you, son. I appreciate that. I appreciate that sweet word. God bless you.